He pioneered Jets blogging and podcasting. He brought smiles to the faces of Jets fans all over the world. He was there through the good and bad. And then, one day, he vanished. People far and wide wondered, where has he gone? When will he return? Thankfully, the answer is now. The OG of Jets podcasting and vlogging is back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
This is There's Always Next Year with Brian Bassett.
I'm back. The real me. Let's not make a whole thing of it.
And his co-hosts, Chef Travis Milton.
Today we're going to be making the students my tasty baked ziti with basil and fresh mozzarella.
And Josh Conrad.
Oh, my brother, testify.
On Turn on the Jets Digital.
Welcome back to There's Always Next Year. And I'm your host, Brian Bassett. You can follow me on Twitter at Brian_Bassett. And with me, as always, are Travis Milton, chef extraordinaire, who you can find on Twitter at -37board27, screaming about Little Caesars. And with us, Josh Conrad, who you can find on Twitter at Josh_Conrad, probably screaming about the Yankees or UConn in some capacity. So
I just want a college basketball season. UConn's going to be good again.
Could happen.
Hey, I'm the same way. I mean, my Wahoos are going to be great.
Not a lot of Jets things to talk about. We could, again, as Adam we do Gase every week, right? Since the beginning of Adam Gase's career with this team, you know, he's terrible and he's not fired. And so we could spend all show on that. Or we could talk about other things. I think one of the things that was noticeable for me as I went through the weekend was just how there wasn't this looming dread of 1 o'clock on Sunday of what it was going to be like to watch the Jets get blown out of the water again, and for it to just be an enjoyable weekend without that dread. And so I got to do other things. I don't know what you all did this weekend, but here's what I did this weekend. On Saturday, I went out in my backyard and I raked leaves and I raked more leaves and I raked more leaves and I raked more leaves. And I filled up, I don't know, 15 to 20 of those paper bags, you know, the big tall paper bags that you put leaves in. And I was feeling really good. I was feeling really good about it. And then I looked up at my trees and I realized, oh my God, there's still like half of the leaves are still on the trees. One of the biggest things about living in the South for folks who don't live down here is that leaves fall from basically September all the way through December. And it is brutal. So I don't know, Josh, are all your leaves down off your trees or where are you?
I would love to talk about this. Probably 2 weeks ago, leaves up here started falling. We've got a couple of really big trees in our backyard. Our boys are out there. It's COVID, so we're trying to, as best we can, maintain, their play area and keep it clear. So I, like you, spent the last couple of Saturdays out of my backyard, raking piles, and mulching leaves, all that stuff. And then I was done. I was done after yesterday, and then we had some pretty big wind come through to late afternoon. And I realized as I'm watching my backyard fill up again, it's not from the trees, boys. None of my neighbors had done their leaves yet. And so now I'm doing their leaves. Can I get them? What's my legal precedent here? Can I get them to come to my house and pick up their mess, or do I have to pick it up for them?
My neighbor with her hairdryer.
Yeah.
She'll help you out.
Yeah. That's what I'll do. I'm going to do leaves for a third Saturday in a row, and these ones aren't even mine now.
I know. It's so good. Let me give you a new one.
So I know everyone thinks, oh, Travis is living bachelor life in his condo. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to worry about any of that. But I own an open air restaurant.
Yeah.
I have never in my life had to leaf blow a dining room until this year. Think that your yard is bad? I have to literally rake my dining room.
It's amazing.
It is so good. Freaking horrible. Every single day I have to go in, rake my dining room, find woolly worms crawling on chairs, clean it entirely, chase chipmunks out of the booth.
Rafters,
you know,
it's
insane. Yeah.
Trav, you missed an awesome marketing opportunity to call it tree to table, and you could just leave.
Yeah,
the essence of the tulip tree leaf really enhances the flavor of your pork cracklins or whatever.
You know, I think that might actually be like a cool thing in the fall. Just like let them pile up in the restaurant. It's like just walk in. It's a really cool like new restaurant thing. You know, we have forest floor inside of the dining room.
It'll be like, what's the restaurant? What's the chain restaurant there? People just throw peanut shells
peanut
on the floor.
Shells.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's like
Texas Roadhouse,
or yeah, one of those. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it'd be like that. It's like your version of that.
It's just
I've never felt comfortable in whatever steakhouse that is because it's just it grosses. Like people are
so
spitting
nasty.
Them. Like they're eating the peanut in their mouth and then spitting the shell.
Oh,
I'm not on a baseball team. This isn't a dugout. I'm trying to enjoy a steak that's already crap. Like stop spitting peanut shells at me.
Down here they do that in Five Guys, like literally, like yes. People will sit there and like throw the peanut shells and spit them out on the floor while I'm waiting on my burger, and I'm like, this is what are you doing?
People are disgusting.
Yes,
people are disgusting. So here we are, we're raking leaves, we're raking our dining room, we're raking our neighbors' yards. I mean, how are you guys doing? Like, Travis, talk to me about the restaurant. Are you just exhausted at this point because people are slamming your dining room?
100%. So in Virginia, we've done the phases, which Brian, you're aware of, of reopening. I never moved past our second phase. So like my dining room is at half capacity, but it's an open air kind of like, I mean, my restaurant's essentially a fucking barn. It's not the easiest place to have a restaurant, but at the same time, it's very
optimal
COVID
right now.
Friendly. Yeah. I mean, it's open air. All of the sides of the dining room are, you know, plastic curtains that essentially zip up and Velcro and, you know,
right.
Kind
for
of
rain
snap
or
to,
whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. They snap to like the wood posts. So we roll them up and we've got propane and natural gas like heaters in the ceilings. And so even in the winter and fall, it's super warm and, you know, it's a nice atmosphere. And I have just been inundated and with customers, and it's amazing. Or guests. I try to say customer. But I mean, it's been amazing. I love it to death, but it is 100% kicking my ass. And it gets really, really hard on a Sunday to look at a full dining room and go, I'm going to walk into, so we've got a tasting room for the vineyard attached to the restaurant. And that's kind of my office as well. And that's where my computer is set up. And I watch my Jets games on Sunday. And it gets increasingly hard to look at a full dining room and go,
right.
I'm going to go watch this piece of shit team just play like crap.
Get mopped up and down the field. Yeah, while you guys are just totally in the shit in the kitchen. See ya.
Yep.
Bye.
Yep.
From the church side for us, it's really been unique. I mean, we threw all of our services online and tried to do as everything we could with online participation. And then in the early fall, September, October, we really tried to start doing what we were calling like micro church. And so having small gatherings of people because some of the exemptions in place for houses of worship. But, you know, really what we've also learned is like, yes, that's helpful. And like we can get some in-person stuff happening, but people really aren't coming. Like, I really think there's a genuine move. Like there's like an appetite change for people who are like, hey, if I can do this at home and I can be a little bit safer, that's probably how I'm going to have to do it. And so I am actually the church that I help lead. I do think we're pretty forward thinking in terms of like how to leverage the moment and use technology and really be unique in helping people stay both safe and connected to church. And so it's really been a challenge, but I'm always encouraged by people's ability to just kind of rise to the moment, figure out what they have to do and kind of move on. Honestly, like even some of the early like vaccine information that's coming out from the different pharmaceutical companies that are highly effective against COVID are like, all right, that's the light at the end of the tunnel, hopefully, at least as it pertains to COVID. So, you know, it's been unique. It's been interesting. I'm a little bit concerned the next month or so with holidays. I'm sure you guys are having these conversations of like, are we doing this in person? Are we going to do this over Zoom? There's a very strong line in my family where you are either pro or anti gathering around the Thanksgiving table this year. So listen, if that's the case and I've got to make a whole Thanksgiving dinner and eat it by myself with my wife, like we're gonna trudge forward, guys. We're gonna make it happen.
I love it. Yeah. So yeah, we're trying to figure out same thing, outdoor things. I mean, if only Travis's restaurant was closer, we could just go there and eat leaves
or eat amongst the leaves.
That's right. Eat amongst the leaves with, you know, some leaves.
Is this oak? Is this oak or is this elm? Oh yeah. No, I can totally take the elm notes in my cocktail from the
Well, the restaurant I'm building is called Hickory, so you're going to be stuck with a buttload of hickory leaves because it is definitely named for what's around.
Travis, I'd like to send you a photo of a 9-pound brisket I smoked yesterday as my official application to be a part of Hickory as your barbecuer.
Oh my God, dude. Like, I am putting together right now for next September Labor Day. I'm getting, it's a little premature, but Pitmaster Rodney Scott is going to come down. We're going to do like this big weekend at Hickory. All right. Okay. Come down, like do some brisket with Rodney because he's going to be doing
pork. Oh my gosh.
I'm convinced
that my post church ministry life is going to include being a pitmaster and just standing around a fire until I die. That's how I want to go out.
I can definitely help you there.
For folks that don't know who Rodney Scott is, Travis, give us a short summation of an amazing life of Rodney Scott, please.
So I am a barbecue freaking snob. Like it's horrible. Like I can't eat barbecue like most places. And it's
trash, because, right?
That's the thing. Like, it's not trash. It's just I've been exposed to such amazing barbecue that, like, regular barbecue, I'm like, oh God, like, I'm sorry. This is just, this doesn't do it. And it's because of people like John Lewis, even in Richmond, like ZZQ, like Chris Foltz, one of the best brisket guys I've ever known in my life. But when it comes to pulled pork, Rodney Scott is the patron saint. Yep. Like, he does the absolute greatest pork barbecue, whole hog. And I know a lot of amazing pit masters, but Rodney is the absolute best. And it's hilarious, like, the way we actually finally met. We knew each other via social media. We had talked. We had been at events together. I was at Charleston Food and Wine Festival one year, and I was headlining a Veuve Clicquot fried chicken and champagne brunch.
Oh, my God.
I was a brand ambassador for them at the time. Maybe I'll get back on with them because I've mentioned it on the podcast. But I was in a restroom at Jim and Nick's Barbecue in downtown Charleston.
Uh-huh.
And I went in, and this guy comes out of the stall and slaps me on my ass while I'm at a urinal peeing. And I was like, ho! And I turn around, and Rodney goes, Travis Milton. This way, but good to meet you. It was like, okay.
Did you turn around and just pee all over his pants, or what happened?
No, I turned my head, and I was like, what's up? And then like I looked back down, and I was like, damn, that's Rodney. Rodney Scott just slapped my ass. What do I do?
Oh, my
so
gosh.
I was like, let me get done here and wash my hands, and I'll come talk to you. And he was like, yeah, come talk to me in the kitchen.
Listen, for anyone out there, like, just go find the Chef's Table barbecue episode about Rodney Scott. Mm-hmm. And like,
freaking amazing.
It's a religious experience. And I'm saying that to you as a religious experience professional. Like, it was that episode on Rodney Scott, his family, like, every part of it. I was like, I don't think I blinked for an hour because it was so friggin' awesome.
Yeah. Well, to speak to that, he is an amazing human being. He is a wonderful person of faith. I can't say enough good things about that guy. But yeah, hopefully I'll have him up next September, putting together like a chef's weekend over Labor Day, getting a bunch of chefs up the South. And y'all come down.
We're plus one in this. Yeah. So it's kind of like basically you've eaten at Frank Pepe's and you're eating Little Caesars or whatever is almost like a disservice to Frank Pepe's or something.
Well,
like
that's still
something of that, like.
But I want that freaking pizza so damn bad. I want a clam pie like so bad, and I have no way of getting
it. Listen, we'll figure this out, boys. There are ways we can collab on a Rodney Scott Hickory Frank Pepe's feast at some point. So we will figure this out. We will make it happen.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt real quick. Thanks for listening to There's Always Next Year. Just want to remind you that if you wanted to get a great deal on some action at MyBookie, we've got a great promo code for you. When you head over there right now, use the promo code OVERTIME. And when you do, you'll get your deposit matched halfway all the way up to $1,000. So if you put in $200, they'll match you $100. You put in $1,000, they match you $500. That's the max. It's a great deal. It's basically found money for you if you're going to gamble anyway. You've got a full slate of games in the NFL on Sunday. Saturday, we've got a full slate of games in college football. We've got UFC, boxing, all kinds of stuff going on right now. So get in on the action over at MyBookie and make your sports viewing experience a profit session. Use the promo code OVERTIME and you'll get your deposit match halfway, all the way up to $1,000 with MyBookie. All right, sorry about that, Brian. The floor is yours, my man.
Okay, we've made our listeners suffer enough to listen to us talk about, you know,
barbecue.
Us being us. Well, I mean, if our listeners don't like barbecue, that's their own problem.
I was gonna say, but Nick Mangold used to call me about that.
Yeah, they come for the ass slapping stories, but they stay, Travis, for the Jets content. So
that's valid.
So we need to talk a little bit about what I have termed as wish lists. I'm sure a lot of you in your families, people, you're getting wish lists. My wife's always like, what do you want on your Christmas list? What do you want on your Christmas list? I actually go out and like look for things or think about things and think about what my spouse would like. She just wants a list so she can get it crossed off. So this is the first year ever that I've said, give me a list, because I don't want to spend a bunch of time looking around at whatever Anthropology for stuff that you might like. So anyway, so we all have wish lists. This is a time of the year for wish lists. I want your college wish lists. We'll go through a couple different positions that don't involve Trevor Lawrence. So we're not going to talk about quarterback. We're going to talk about other positions. So Josh, if you're ready, can you give me who are some of the players that are on your wish list when it comes to wide receivers?
Obviously, if you're even somewhat connected to college football or NFL prospects, or even just a Jet fan looking, I mean, a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, who's going to go probably in the top five, is going to be an incredible. I mean, he really has so much related to like Odell Beckham, and there's just a lot of playmaking that guy, DeAndre Hopkins. Like, that guy feels like he's just going to be making plays for a long, long time. My only concern in only listing him, though, is that I don't know, like, if the Jets are in the top five, like probably in the top two, they're taking a quarterback. Like, they're taking Lawrence, right, or they're taking Fields, and so he's not going to be there. The other guy I really like, and in he's been climbing lists now, has been Devonta Smith from Alabama. He's a little bit smaller, like he's a little bit more of a slot guy. But listen, what's going to be the best friend for a rookie NFL quarterback? It's going to be a guy in the slot that's going to make short cuts over the middle. You know, you can do little bubble screens. You can get the ball in that guy's hands, and that guy, like, he just does not drop the ball. And so I'm really big on both those guys. I think Ja'Marr Chase is probably just not going to happen given the way the draft board's going to fall. But keep an eye on Devonta Smith from Alabama. I think that he could be a guy that the Jets could pair with Mims and really start to have a wide receiver core that's built for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I like that. Chase is going to be the top, assuming all the measurables hold and all that sort of thing. He's going to be a top player, right? Unless the Jets basically decide to rock it with Sam Darnold and they say, we're staying on this roller coaster ride. There's no chance they get Ja'Marr Chase, right? So unless they say we're committed to Sam Darnold and we're going to move back, and they move back to, right, the 3-5, whatever spot, they're not going to have a shot at Chase. But there are so many interesting receivers that are going to be later on. And right, I like the idea of Devonta Smith, and right, he's someone who could replace and hopefully enhance what we've seen from Jameson Crowder over the last couple of years. And yeah, I definitely have some players. One guy who's really jumped out at me recently is Amon-Ra Brown, who plays at USC, obviously the little brother of Equanimeous St. Brown, comes from an amazing pedigree, smart guy. is, you know, his father was, you know, Mr. Universe bodybuilder, all kinds of things. When you look at his play, you look at his profile, could be an interesting player. And he might sneak into the end of the first round. But right now, kind of people are thinking about him in second or later rounds. So he's an interesting guy. And then another player is like, if they wanted their kind of cheetah type person, Elijah Moore is someone that I would be interested in. He's at Ole Miss and he's just breaking records, you know, doing all kinds of stuff at Ole Miss, but he's small. Like, the thing about him is he's super small. So he's like a Hollywood Brown type or a Tyreek Hill type, but he could be a real like vertical deep stretch player on this team. I think we have to think about who they have and Denzel Mims, and for the athletic profile that he has, you know, who would pair well with Mims and, right, Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or whoever it's going to be going forward. Travis, do you have any thoughts on wide receivers you've been watching in the college game that have been interesting to you?
I mean, outside of what you guys have mentioned, I think Alabama wide receivers after Devin Smith, I've got a little bit of like buyers, like beware. But Josh mentioned Devonta Smith, but like I love Jalen Waddle. He is more, even more that Tyreek Hill. You know, he's like, I think he's like 5'10". He is small, but he is super quick, great in the center of the field. Not a slot receiver, but I love that guy's skill set. That's the one out of that, you know, out of the wide receiver kind of cachet that I would say that I really, really love his skill set, and I think could be a great pair with Denzel Mims outside of who we've already mentioned.
There's an interesting site, if you haven't seen it yet, called Breakout Finder, and their whole thing on Breakout Finder is, hey, we're looking for college players that hit certain levels of, they're getting lots of targets in the offense and they're doing lots with them. But also, you can't just factor it in because small school, large school, they have different allocations. So counting stats, and even if you go to percentages of how many targets they got out of the hole, that's not always representative of what's happening. And so what Breakout Finder is trying to do is say, hey, listen, if you're at Alabama and you're competing against Henry Ruggs or just other players, so Jalen Waddle, and he's competing against Devonta Smith, you know, there's less opportunity, even if you're a superstar in that offense, to really break out. We've seen that some with Ohio State receivers, but I think Terry McLaurin is a great example of a guy who didn't necessarily put up massive numbers, but is probably one of the top 10 young receivers in the league right now. And so how do you sort those things out? So Breakout Finder is a great way to look at that. I think that is going to be interesting to watch what his breakout score is eventually come the end of the season. Very tantalizing player. I was trying to think about other skill positions. We'll get to running back in a minute, but tight end is obviously another one. I don't know. I don't know enough about college football to know who I'm missing, but when I look at this class, I don't see that kind of Noah Fant, Hockenson, like level, you know, of kind of group coming in. That's just, people are like, these are can't miss guys. You know, they're going to be amazing. They're super athletic, jump out of the gym types. So maybe you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, but my thought is like, I'm sure they'll try and pick someone out kind of, you know, day three, but I don't know that there's anyone here necessarily in this class that is a priority. Can you guys tell me different? And if not, I have some suggestions on what the Jets should do around tight end. Do you have any thoughts on college?
I guess we're just saying RIP Chris Herndon. He wants out.
He doesn't want to be there.
Right. It's RIP because I thought for sure 3 years ago that dude is going to be in the Antonio Gates conversation by the end of his career. And clearly that has not happened. So the only guy I know of, you know, when I was a kid, I started becoming a Miami Hurricanes fan because it's what douchebag kids from New England did with college football.
Gino Toretta for life. Yeah.
You know it. Yeah. Yeah. And so the only guy I've marginally followed on that Miami team that looks like of any interest is their tight end. His name's Brevin Jordan. Incredible, like athletic guy. I mean, Miami has a pretty good track record of tight ends that are pretty solid and very athletic. And so He's a guy that I do really like. The only problem is, and this seems like problematic at that position, he's not great at catching the football. If he can catch the football, he's going to be hard to tackle. If he doesn't catch the football, he's going to be cut after year one. So he might be a late, you know, a late third round, fourth round kind of guy that the Jets might take a shot on if they're trying to just get more athletic from their pass catchers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think you go to Walter Football or some site like that, and Kyle Pitts from Florida, Pat Freiermuth from Penn State. Penn State's had a pretty good run at tight end, and Freiermuth's a big guy, 256, 6'5", yeah, projected to run 4.7, but it's really more about agility for someone his size. And then, yeah, Brevin Jordan, as you said, he's kind of in the mix. But, yeah, there's just until those guys get in the gym and we see what their agility scores are, it's going to be hard to say what they are. I don't know. Travis, do you have any players that you've seen on the collegiate level that you're interested in, or nah?
I mean, again, we go back to like buyer's remorse, and you know, the only tight end I've seen that really flashed anything to me was Freiermuth. And I still got like Kyle Brady, like stuck in my head, you know, tight end, Penn State. I don't see it. And also, I mean, at the end of the day, like you guys know what I'm watching, like in college football. Yes. I'm not watching skill
safeties, corners, punters.
Yeah, right.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm watching the punters. Yeah, 100%. Like I'm looking for Braden Mann's, like, you know, heir apparent already. No, like I'm watching the O-line like 100%, like every day. Skill position players, I'm never as interested up with it,
because you know where it starts, you know where it ends. That's fair.
100%.
So we'll get there in a second. Before we do, so my thought is, when it comes to tight ends, just there's a couple guys, Gerald Everett and Jonnu Smith are unrestricted free agents now. More than likely, those two players re-sign with their teams. Excellent head coach Mike Vrabel and McVay, you know, quality quarterback play, quality offenses. So you'd expect that they're going to want to return. But if I was the Jets and I have almost $100 million or whatever in cap space, like just try and blow one of those players out of the water on like a back channel, you know, what do they call it? Like tampering. That's what I'm thinking of, tampering. I would go ahead and tamper on Jonnu Smith, just get in touch with his agent and just be like, we want to back up the dump truck for Jonnu Smith, because he's a guy where you get the ball in his hands and if there's any daylight, goodbye, right? Like he had, I think one of his longest plays of the year last year was on a run play. Like they handed him the ball and he ran for, I can't even remember, it was like 50 plus yards. That dude is a beast. And I think he would be someone that I would just basically take whatever, do whatever you can to get that guy. Gerald Everett is an interesting player. Obviously, the Rams have a weird set of alignments that they use that doesn't exactly always favor the tight end and tight ends getting targets. So Gerald Everett is probably a little bit looking, you know, kind of got a roving eye and looking for the next play. So you sell someone like Gerald Everett on the idea that, hey, you're going to be playing with Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or whoever is going to be one of the top quarterbacks, and you could be playing with this person for the next 5 years. Jared Goff is fine, but at the end of the day, he's, you know, a game manager plus. So, you know, let's roll the dice and back up the truck. And if it's not going to be him, go with an athletic veteran like Demetrius Harris, who's been kind of buried on other people's depth charts in Kansas City and now Chicago. And then, yeah, you roll the dice on an upside prospect later. And right. But maybe kind of to bring it all back, Josh, to your point, like maybe Chris Herndon can see the light if they, you know, bring in a new regime. Maybe that's the hope there. Maybe that's the
Are
hope.
You guys totally giving up on Trayvon Wesco? I mean, what's the deal there?
I can't give up on him if I never gave down on him.
That's right. That's right.
Give down.
That's right. When I was bewildered by the pick, when it was picked, I've never been unbewildered by that pick, right? Other than Brian Baldinger really loves this guy. I don't know if like Brian Baldinger's agent is Trevon Wesco's agent or something, but like, I don't know what's going on there. Running backs, Travis Etienne and Najee Harris are the two big ones. Anyone else that you guys are interested in? I know the kid out of Memphis is getting a lot of love. I just don't think he's big enough. He's like 180 pounds. Like,
yep.
He's not Christian McCaffrey. He's not going to be Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey is much bigger than that. So who are there any other running backs that are interesting to you beyond Etienne and Harris?
I don't even love Etienne. I think that's almost a reach, like for what he's being touted in like a first round, like high second round. Like, this is not a running back heavy draft, in my opinion. Like, the bulk of the running backs I see are benefiting from either a really good quarterback or a combination of a really good quarterback and a nice offensive line. And I don't see anybody that literally in this draft that like breaks out to me.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think Harris could be interesting. I think everybody's paying a lot of attention to Etienne, and for, you know, for good reason, right? Like you say, he's on a good team and he is, you know, demolished some competition. So I think he's going to be a good player, but right, I'm never in favor of using a first round draft pick on a running back. Like, I'm just not going to do that. But when it comes to him gaining, you know, fantasy points, yes, he could be a monster for fantasy points. But yeah, Najee Harris at 230, you know, and, you know, with a projected 4.5 40 time, like, that dude is big and kind of like a little reminiscent of Derrick Henry. So like, he's almost
Ron Dane.
Well, but maybe, but I think he's bigger and I think he's much more agile. I think he's much more agile than Ron Dane. Like, I think he's got some of the agility of Tiki with Ron Dane's kind of size and punishing ability. So we'll see. But okay, if there's no one else there, that's fine. But I mean, I do think they're going to have to figure something out. Like, maybe depending on where Chuba Hubbard ends up landing, like if he kind of falls a little bit, like, he might be a value in like the third round or something like that. That would be awesome. I'd be all on board for that. All right, let's talk to this about the stuff that matters, Travis. What's on your wish list for offensive line? Is it tackle? Is it center? What do you want?
Oh, man. I mean, pretty much the entire line, you know. But to be honest, like, the line has played pretty okay, I mean, for what it is this year. You know, something I would love, Penei Sewell. He's not going to move to right. He's not going to move to right tackle. So, you know, with Becton holding down left tackle, Alex Leatherwood, I think, is a great prospect out of Alabama. Again, Alabama always weirds me out a little bit, but at the same time, like, he's freaking amazing. The dude that I am in love with right now is Trey Hill out of Georgia. Like, he is a big physical freaking center. He's not one of the small agile centers like you've been seeing like these past few years going high. He is a bruiser. He can take on, you know, double teams all day long. I love that dude. I would love for, again, like, I keep talking about this, the Jets to keep Sam, trade out of the number one, get all of the offensive line, rack up a couple wide receivers. Mm-hmm. But Trey Hill is very high on my wish list. Like, he is one of the better center prospects I've seen over the past few years. Just size, agility for his size, and what he brings to the table. Like, I would love to just jettison Connor McGovern out of what I've seen from him this year. Mm-hmm. Get Trey Hill in there. That's my dude. Like, I'm all about that guy.
Yeah, and the thing that I love about the center position, like, just think about Mangold and kind of where he went, and think about, right, some of the other centers that we've seen over the last couple of years where they typically go in the NFL draft. Those are not players going in the top 5. They're not going in the top 15. They're generally going that first center off the board is generally going in the 50 to 32 range, sometimes even beyond that. And so when you are the Jets, and when you have, you know, the first overall pick as currently constituted, the 26th overall pick from Seattle, and then if you have the first overall, it also means you have the 33rd overall pick. Like, that puts you in a really good spot to pick up one of, if not the top center in the draft class. So, right. So to your point, Travis, if you're on board with who this center is and what he could be for a team, and, right, you know, as a potential road grader and, you know, a player who can, you know, just kind of go up against a large nose tackle and push them back. Like, that's the kind of player that you want. And to get that level of effort, you know, that late in the first or early second round, like, hey man, like,
it's beautiful.
I'll take it. Yeah, that's beautiful. I will take that. And so versus, you know, when you think about, like, that's where the top player at that position is going versus, you know, when you think about tackles, like, by the time you're at the end of the first round, you're probably, you know, well into the fifth, seventh, you know, maybe even eighth, you know, depending on the class and how rich it is or poor it is. But you're that far in on that kind of a player. So right. So I certainly see your point in that there's a lot of value there. Josh, what do you think about center or tackle or the line that they should be going for?
Yeah, I'm gonna always defer to our resident offensive line guru.
Yes.
Honestly, whatever Travis says, I'm good with. I trust that.
That's good. I mean, he does rake his own dining room. So I mean,
he's the DeBrickashaw to my Thomas Jones.
That's right. Love it. Well, gentlemen, this was fun. And guests, thanks for listening in. Anything we need to talk about before we buckle up for the quote unquote second half of the Jets NFL 2020 season? Josh, parting words?
My parting words are just keep losing games, because every other team around us, including the Jaguars, are going to keep losing games. Keep losing games.
Travis, any advice for ourselves, for our fans?
I mean, I'm just stoked I could see the Chargers uniforms, because I swear to God, like, they have the best uniforms in the NFL. And this might be controversial. I don't think it should be. Our uniforms are complete and utter dog shit now. I hate our uniforms. I despise them. They totally screwed it up. I really feel like next year we should totally revamp. I mean, with everything that's going on, I hate these uniforms so much. Everyone at the release party for the uniforms is gone from the team outside of Sam and I guess Herndon. Yeah, like just burn them. Done. Like, let's not think about them ever again.
So Gotham green, spotlight white, stealth black. No,
you can call them whatever you want. I mean, you can call a piece of, you can call a turd peanut butter. I mean, like, just like,
whoa,
it's your prerogative. What is, like, I love the names, but like, just the look of them is so damn bad. So bad.
That's fine. Yeah. I mean, it's hard. There's so much nostalgia with those powder blues. I mean, they are pretty. They are pretty. I will give the Chargers that. But I mean, I don't know. Like, it does. I understand your point in that, like, green is so entrenched in what the Jets are and who they are. But at the same time, there is this weird sense where it's like, so our team colors are green and white because some guy owned the team like 40 years ago. That was the color of his business, like, right? Like, I get what you're saying.
But it looks like a damn high school.
All right, you have officially enraged all our fans. All our fans are so mad right now. Josh, would you like to rebuke your co-host here?
Oh man, anything that makes the team disappear on the field is good. So I say rock the greens until you have a team worth standing out.
I'm saying the Jets need to go full Predator and like have the camouflage suit Predator uniforms. That's until they do that, I'm not interested. I'm just not interested.
I would love the retros. I mean, you're seeing, obviously that's been the movement across uniforms, across sports, but anytime we can go back and incorporate the 1960s logos and the 1960s look and feel, I am all about it. So I welcome that, or the 80s, 90s actual Jets logo. So I am with both of you, and at the same time, leave it up to our fan base to correct us if need be.
Translation: Josh loves single bar faces.
Bring back the single bar for everybody.
Can we do that one with the weird, like, lopsided, like, airplane that they had for, like, a year in, like, 62?
I loved it. Oh, so good. Beautiful.
Yeah, that lopsided airplane is so weird. So weird. I don't think people knew what a jet was at that point. I think it was still like, what is this?
Yeah, not sure.
What is this supersonic of which you speak? Okay. Well, gentlemen, thank you as always. Stay safe. Our listeners, be safe. Keep us safe by liking and reviewing the Play Like a Jet feed. We are excited to come back next week after a game. We will all have raked leaves, our neighbors' leaves. We will have used hair blowers to blow dust and leaves into our patrons, cosmopolitans, I'm sure, by the time we talk next week. But until we do, all the best. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you after the Chargers game.
Man, I've had too much sherry. That sounds bougie, but but it's real.